Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Joining us on the line this morning, political analyst Steve Roberts, looking at everything going on in Washington, or Steve, more like what isn't going on in Washington with the government shut down. Any indication as of this morning on if they may be closer to opening things back up?
In a word, no. and the reason for this, at least for now, is that both sides think they have the political advantage. Now, they can't both be true about that, but they both think it at the moment. Look at the Republicans. They've got Donald Trump, by far the most dominant and effective communicator. You've got the leaders of the Congress. Every time you see them on TV, every time you see a clip, they got big signs behind them saying, Democratic shutdown, Democratic shutdown. And it is true that it's the Democrats in the Senate who are blocking Republican measures to reopen the government. But here's the reverse that's true. Donald Trump, because he is the most dominant figure in Washington, every single day tries to find a way to exert his power. I'm going to fire furloughed workers. I'm going to end green energy programs in Democratic states. I'm going to send the National Guard to Oregon. I'm going to declare war on the Venezuelan cartels. Every single day, he is saying, I am the most powerful person. I can do anything I want. And then to turn around and say, oh, by the way, but it's the Democrats who are closing down the government. It's a mixed message. You can't be the most powerful person in the world and also say, I'm helpless to reopen the government. And the polls are showing, at least in the short run, that the Democrats have the advantage. Washington Post poll, 47% blame Trump for the shutdown, 30% blame Democrats. CBS poll, 52% disapprove of Trump's handling of the shutdown, only 32% approve. But Democrats are in a tough position because they're the ones who have to vote day after day in the Senate to keep the government closed. And so they have vulnerabilities too. But in the short run, they at least marginally seem to be winning the political battle.
It doesn't seem like either side is looking at the polls. But do you see some sort of compromise here at some point?
Well, there's going to have to be. I mean, unless the Republicans just bludgeon the Democrats into submission. But I think you got to understand what the Democratic demand is. They're not just keeping the government closed for the sake of it. The issue that they focused on are these subsidies that were passed during COVID when American families in Buffalo and a lot of other places were suffering, right? Businesses closed, people lost jobs. And one of the most important things for any family is keeping up their payments on their health insurance. You lose your health insurance, it's enormously stressful and dangerous. So this program was put in to help families get through the emergency of COVID. Now, the Republicans say, well, that was an emergency, but the emergency's over, and we want those subsidies to expire at the end of the year. And the Democrats say, no, 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 we want to keep these subsidies and renew them. And so the Democrats say, we're not going to vote to reopen the government until you agree to extend the subsidies. And the Republicans say, we're going to keep the government closed until you and we're not going to negotiate, you know, while the government's closed. But you can see there's going to be some kind of compromise down the road where both sides give a little, where the Republicans give some kind of assurance that they will negotiate or pass some kind of extension of the subsidies once the government reopens. You can see that happening down the road. But Democrats are not necessarily eager to give up this issue because they think they have a larger advantage here. Senator Hawley from Missouri, a very conservative Republican, but very shrewd, has made the point. He said, look, he said to fellow Republicans, you know, as we have broadened the base of our party, we're no longer sort of the classic East Coast country club rich Republicans. We're a working class party today. And that's one of the reasons why Trump has won twice. But since we have a much broader base, we have a lot of voters today who need these subsidies. We're not just talking about rich Republicans. We're talking about working class folks who depend on these subsidies from Obamacare, depend on other kinds of Medicare and Medicaid, depend on feeding programs. And so we have to understand that because we're a national broad-based party today, we got a lot of voters who need these government programs. And that's a key factor that Democrats hope they can use, not just in the short term, but in the election next year to say we're the party of health care. And it's the Republicans who are jeopardizing your health care. And that they hope and believe that's a message that can at least pry away some of the folks who voted for Trump in the last election.
You know, I'm wondering, because so much of this conversation revolves around health care, and there's a finger pointing of like, you know, you do this, you do that, all this stuff that goes on in Washington. Is anybody like saying, hey, hold up, wait a second, can we figure this out in a week or so? Because we're entering a time when a lot of people are going to be enrolling in their health care programs, and there's so much uncertainty now over what's going to happen that these plans are changing, sometimes dropping coverage. We've seen that here locally just in the last week of some major providers being dropped from certain coverages because of a lot of uncertainty here. People need to know what's going to happen over the next year.
You're absolutely right about that. And this is the enrollment period. And folks need to know what their premiums are going to be, whether they can afford it. And the plans need to know how many people are going to be in the plan in order to calculate the premiums. You're absolutely right about that. But you're putting your finger on a much larger problem here. And that is that it's not just that these two parties think they can somehow gain a political advantage. The other factor here is there's so little trust, so little respect. I covered the Congress for many years for the New York Times, and I'm not pretending that somehow this was a halcyon age where Democratic lions and Republicans, you know, sang Kumbaya in the National Mall. That's not what I'm talking about. But there was a measure of mutual understanding that we were doing the public's business and that we had to respect each other's views and we had to negotiate and we had to find some compromise or coalition. What's lacking in Washington today is that underlying sense of compromise is no longer a virtue in Washington. It's both sides see it as betrayal, as treason, as heretics. And that's the underlying problem. People are not talking to each other in part because they don't trust each other. So you're absolutely right in saying, look, here's an enormous problem that folks in Buffalo and everywhere else are facing. Why don't you guys in Washington, you folks in Washington, get together and solve it? And the reason why they're not doing it is because they don't trust each other.
All right, Steve, thanks so much. We always appreciate talking with you. Steve Roberts, political analyst here on WBEN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.